We must, says Jesus, stay connected to the Father and the Son, because they are endless resources of strength and wisdom and that spiritual satisfaction we call joy.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
Over a recent holiday weekend, my spouse Tammy and I went kayaking in a local lake. The young lady helping us to rent the kayaks was using her cell phone to make the transaction. She held up her phone and said with frustration, "I used to have great cell service out here, but then my carrier sold this area to another carrier. The day after the new carrier took over, my bars went from 5 to 1, and now I have off and on service. I live about 20 minutes from here," she said. So I called them. "What's happened to my cell service?" I asked. They responded, "You have the very same service you had previously." "No, I really don't," she said. "Yesterday I was connected to something, a tower or satellite or something that I'm not connected to today. I can tell the difference." If you'd heard her tone, you would know she was not joyful about this. Aren't we glad that our relationship with God doesn't depend on a cell tower or radio wave connections? But it does depend on a connection, and joy, or deep spiritual satisfaction, flows from that connection. In John chapter 15, Jesus is explaining to the disciples how to be connected to the spiritual source of himself and God the Father. He knows that this very night he will be arrested, and in a few short hours will be condemned to death, and that his disciples are about to experience the darkest hours of their faith. He must teach them to hold on, how to not be overwhelmed with the sorrow of discipleship, but to grasp hold of the prevailing joy of discipleship. They will need a connection to joy. As Tammy and I were walking near this same lake, we saw a family seated in lawn chairs, circled up, with music in the background, laughing. At least 3, maybe 4 generations were represented in the circle. As we walked by, they acknowledged us with smiles and hellos, and they were enjoying one another's presence, deeply happy to just be together. I think if they would have said to us, "Hey, come here and take a brownie, have a seat, join us," Tammy and I would probably have joined the family party. It is easy for us to forget in our theological language of the Holy Trinity that Jesus, right here in John 15, primarily describes this Trinity's relationship in terms of intimacy and joy. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a family, the Holy Family, and in one another's presence is perfect joy. And Jesus says that you and I are invited into that joyful relationship. How do we come into the circle and experience that joy? The powerful word picture Jesus presents is the grapevine. Notice that image as we read in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Why does Jesus use this powerful picture of the grapevine? Because throughout the Old Testament, this has been the image of Israel's relationship with God. Isaiah 5:7 declares the nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. Psalm 80 describes how God took Israel from Egyptian slavery and planted them in Canaan like a vineyard. But both Isaiah and the psalmist lament that ancient Israel has not been spiritually fruitful. Jesus, however, has been the spiritually fruitful vine the Father called him to be. That's why, in verse 1, he calls himself the true vine. And Jesus assures us that if we are connected to him, we too will be spiritually fruitful. He is the vine, and we, his disciples, are the branches connected to the vine. And so, we are connected to all of the nutrients and the sustenance, the life of that vine. Without this connection, disciples of Jesus will have only spiritual anxiety, not spiritual fruit. We will be depending on ourselves as a source of strength, as a source of wisdom, and as a source of spiritual satisfaction. And we will run dry very quickly. We must, says Jesus, stay connected to the Father and the Son, because they are endless resources of strength and wisdom and that spiritual satisfaction we call joy. Jesus says the word joy with an exclamation mark. The satisfaction that we experience when we know and are relationally connected to the dependable source of our spiritual life produces joy in our minds and hearts. In the verses we just heard, Jesus explains how to remain spiritually connected. First, Jesus teaches us to stay in the Father's love and in his love. In Jude verse 21, we're told, keep yourselves in the love of God. In Revelation 2:4, Jesus calls the Ephesian church back into the first love they used to have for him. How do we stay in love with the Father and with the Son? The same way we stay in love with any other person. We spend time with them. We listen to them. We communicate our own self, our own feelings, our own thoughts to them. We trust them. We stay faithful to them within whatever boundaries that relationship has. Remember, Jesus' image here, it is that he is the vine. The science of vineyards is called viticulture. It's a viticultural certainty that if branches become separated from the vine, they begin to dry up. When we become disconnected from the love of God and from the love of Jesus, from the love that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing through that vine, our faith will dry up. John Wesley taught Christians in the early Methodist movement to keep what, in his day, were called the three general rules: do no harm, do good, and keep the ordinances of the church. Isn't it great the way the late Bishop Reuben Job put Rule 3? Stay in love with God. If you and I stay in love with God, that keeps us connected to spiritual joy. Then Jesus teaches us to obey the Father and the Son's commands. Each of us should ask the question, am I obediently teachable? As I am presently speaking, it is baseball season, and late one afternoon I was driving past the local Little League baseball field, and there were coaches and players on the fields practicing. I saw one boy who looked to be about a third grader swinging his bat, and it was clear that the coach or maybe his father was instructing him. The adult had a hand on the boy's shoulder and was pushing it down and was showing him how to swing the bat in a level position. And the boy seemed to be doing just as he was taught, watching carefully, listening carefully. He was teachable, obedient, learning the right way. The only way for Jesus to fulfill his mission on earth was to remain connected to the Father and to obediently follow the Father's will. The only way for you and I to remain connected to spiritual joy is by following Jesus obediently, being teachable. Next, Jesus teaches that we must lay down our lives in self-sacrifice. Living for ourselves will disconnect us from joy. Only the self-giving life, giving back to God the natural gifts and spiritual gifts God has entrusted to us, and often we give back through our service to others, that will bring us joy. Isn't it interesting that even Jesus' disciples did not fully see what Jesus' sacrificial life had accomplished until after the resurrection? That's usually the way it happens when we attend someone's funeral and somehow see much more clearly what that person really did with his or her life. Did he live for himself or others? Did she serve others in need or want others to serve her? If we ever get the full picture, it's fairly easy to know if this was someone who sacrificed time and effort and money to lay down his or her life for others, or who, in Jesus' words, kept their life. And it was at the resurrection that the disciples came to understand how Jesus had given his life for others and for them. The Christian has heard the greatest personal call from Jesus. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Matthew 10, verse 39. This is the life of spiritual joy, giving yourself away in your Savior's service. Next, Jesus teaches that joy comes from praying the Father's will. As Christians, we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by praying in God's name, especially in Jesus' name? We mean that we are confident that Jesus would also pray this prayer. We want to pray in such a way and for such things that we are confident that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit want to answer our prayer. It's an aligning of our will with God's will. A few days ago at a craft fair, I saw a man playing miniature cornhole. He was seated with two small cornhole boards, one in his right hand and the other in his left hand. A small springboard would send the miniature bag toward the opposite hole, and he looked frustrated. He kept moving one of the boards first this way and then that way, and he felt they were not properly aligned for him to play the game. Could it be that if I'm frustrated in my spiritual life, it is because my will is not aligned with God's will? Maybe I'm actually trying to convince God to realign God's will with my will. One of the most challenging parts of any relationship is the alignment of wills, the alignment of expectations and of plans. It is not easy to align our prayers with God's will, not at all. But Jesus tells us in verse 16 that if we do align our prayers with God's will, God is so ready to answer those prayers. Our prayers are connected to God's will, and that keeps us connected to joy. Devotional writer William Deerfield tells the story of a man named Charlie who, unfortunately, became known in town as the town drunk. He used to sleep in an abandoned car near our church, William writes. Whenever there was a church supper, Charlie would show up quietly at the kitchen door until someone noticed him and they reluctantly handed a plate of food to him out the door. William admits that sometimes he begrudgingly gave Charlie a little money. One night, the church had a special service led by another denomination that worshipped very expressively. The regular church members were shocked when the group started loudly singing old spirituals. William writes, "Their joyous singing was a mighty sound that rose up to heaven and over to Charlie's ears." Pretty soon, Charlie came shuffling into the church, roused from his slumber by the singing. "Welcome, brother," cried the leader of the visiting group as she rushed up and greeted him. And that night, she led Charlie to accept Jesus as his Savior. Looking back on it, William expressed, "This congregation's food had at times brought Charlie to the kitchen door, but the joy of the visitors had welcomed Charlie inside the door." And before the night was over, he had that joy too. You and I are created to experience the joy of God, the same joy the Trinity shares with one another and invites us into. How can we experience it? By coming into that relationship through Jesus. How can we remain joyful despite some of the difficulties of life? We stay in the Father and Son's love. We obey the Father and Son's commands. We lay down our life in devoted service to the Lord. And we pray for God's will to be done through us. And then, far more important than our cell phone connection, we are connected to God's endless supply of spiritual satisfaction, something we call joy. Now hear this peace and power principle. The Jesus connection is a joy connection.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.